May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. There are people who just love to go to the beach, and then there are beachcombers. I'm a beachcomber, and I'm sure a lot of you, or at least some of you, are as well. Beachcombers are a breed apart. And if you happen to have a family with both kinds of people, there may be some tensions in your beach outings. Because while someone may want to take a nice walk along the shore, beachcombers walk very, very slowly with their eyes to the ground. And they keep their eyes pointed at the ground so they can find wonderful things. And sometimes they miss a lot of what else is going on around them. But most beachcombers know the joy of finding something truly wonderful. Maybe a beautiful or rare shell, a one-of-a-kind piece of driftwood, or a particularly interesting object that just happened to wash up on the shore. One of my favorite finds, I must have been a teenager when I found this, and I still have it, is a clear glass Coke bottle covered with barnacles, and all the barnacles are bleached from the sun, and the cap is still on the bottle, rested on, but all the liquid is gone except just a little teeny bit of solidified Coca-Cola syrup in the bottom. And I still have that. But my all-time favorite find is a large, pearly white spiral cone top shell that I found on the coast of Southern California. Now, if you've been to those beaches, you'll know that unlike Florida, you almost never find any shells of any size on the California coast. It just doesn't happen. And this one is the size of a medium scoop of ice cream. By far the largest shell I have ever seen, even on the beaches of Southern California. Unless you are a scuba diver, you can't find any sizable shells. And so, in all my years of walking those beaches, I had never seen a shell even half as large as this one. And so I treasured it as a particularly wonderful gift from my native waters. The joy of finding something wonderful. I'm sure you have a story in your own life, maybe of finding something wonderful, or maybe something wonderful finding you, of being surprised by grace, or maybe finding something dear to you that was lost. When I was in the first grade, my great uncle Frank gave me $5, a lot of money in 1966. And I used that money to adopt a kitten at the local Humane Society, our first family cat. He was a shy kitten who was probably, at least mostly, Blue Point Siamese, really beautiful blue-gray colored face and paws. I named him Frisky. Frisky was a one-girl cat. He was shy with everybody else. He'd run away from everyone else. But with me, he was very affectionate. And he also was very brave and loyal. Once when we got a new dog, and she was playfully chasing me around the backyard, and I was playfully screaming, my cat thought I was in trouble. And he ran up, got between me and this big dog, and hissed so loudly that the dog was frightened and ran away. Frisky was my cat. I loved him and he loved me. About 5 years later, I went away to summer camp for the first time. And as soon as I went to camp, Frisky disappeared. My parents didn't tell me, of course, while I was at camp. And they looked and looked and they called and called and they couldn't find him anywhere. Now, this was Southern California, fairly rural in those days, and there were coyotes and hawks, and I'd even seen a bobcat. So my parents thought that Frisky had been eaten by something. So when I came home from camp after a week, they told me he was gone. No sign of him in 7 days. Well, I walked around and around the outside of the house with my friend who'd gone to camp with me. We called and called, but there was no answer. No Frisky. So my friend Bev and I had a wake for the cat. We brought out all the pictures I had of my cat, and I found a little piece of a whisker of his that I'd saved for some reason, and we sat there and cried our eyes out. But as we sat in my bedroom and cried, all of a sudden we heard a meow outside my window. Frisky had come back. Somehow he knew when I left, and he knew when I returned, and he came back to me. And my joy was great. Joy in the finding is the theme of today's gospel. Jesus tells two parables about looking for something that is lost and rejoicing when it is found. The first one is the more well-known one about the shepherd and the 99 sheep and the one. Evidently, this shepherd has 99 rather normal sheep who stick together, as sheep usually do, and one maverick sheep who's either unusually brave or not very smart, a sheep that has managed to get itself completely lost in the wilderness. Now, maybe some of you have some experience with sheep. We got a little bit of experience with sheep when we lived in Maine for a while. 2 years in a row, at least, we took the boys to the Windsor Fair on Labor Day. And this was a big country fair in Maine. And lots of livestock of all kinds. And they had something called the Lamb Obstacle Course. And 2 years in a row, our son Franklin entered that contest. Now, we didn't own a lamb, but they had lambs for hire. And you could borrow the lamb, little boys or little girls could borrow the lamb and then try to lead them through this obstacle course, which included going up a ramp, over a jump, you know, around some blocks. I mean, it was pretty comprehensive. So the first year, Franklin got a lamb that was a good follower and wanted to move, and he got one of the best times. He was excited. But the second year, that lamb was not going to budge. So he pulled and pulled, and the lamb pulled and pulled, and finally the lamb broke away from him and ran around until someone on the sidelines grabbed the rope and gave it back to him. Sheep are not easy to move unless they want to be moved. So thinking back to this parable, I was imagining the shepherd finding the sheep and even then maybe having trouble getting it to move, to get back to the other sheep. But the shepherd in Jesus' parable doesn't even try to lead the sheep around. He is not taking any chances. He picks up the sheep and lays it across his shoulders and carries the sheep home. And when he returns, he calls his whole community together to rejoice over the one sheep. His joy is great. Now, when we moved from Atlanta to Maine, that shell that I told you about, that I had found on the California coast, somehow got lost, along with a few other items. Seems to happen every time we move, something gets lost. So I was sad to lose it, and then the most extraordinary thing happened. 9 months after we had moved, the day before Easter, I was outside doing some cleanup in our front yard. Now you have to remember that in Maine, by Easter time, it's not even spring yet. There's no green anywhere. It's all still brown and waiting for the spring. So I was pulling out a dead vine that had wrapped itself around our azaleas in the front yard. And I pulled and pulled and I cut it and I pulled some more. And then I looked down and that shell was in those bushes. Now, I can't explain it. All I can think of is it must have fallen out of a box or something as the movers were bringing everything into the house. But it had spent the whole winter outside in our front yard. So that shell now sits on my dresser, and every time I see it, I'm reminded again of God's grace, given not once, but twice with that same shell. As my lost cat story reminds me of the lost sheep, so the lost shell reminds me of the lost coin. In this parable, less well known, God is a woman who carefully and thoroughly sweeps and searches the house for a coin she has lost. And as in the other parable, the joy at finding that coin that was lost is so great that she cannot contain herself. She has to throw a party and share that joy with others. It is this joy, the joy of God and all the hosts of heaven, that Jesus speaks of to the Pharisees and the scribes, who have criticized him for the company that he keeps. Now, we shouldn't be too hard on them. They were following their tradition that said that a person was affected, maybe even infected, by the company that they keep. But Jesus showed them a different way. Jesus showed them that God's boundless love and joy are much more contagious than the so-called bad company. In fact, he tells us, it may be those very same ones who, when they are found, are the source of God's greatest joy. Every single life is precious to God. We don't have to do anything special to be precious to God. Just by our very existence, we are loved more than we can ever know. And so, to ages of ages, God will continue to comb the rocks and valleys for every lost sheep among us. God will continue to call us by name until every single one of us is safely gathered in for the night.